everybody, it's Tad Hargrave. Welcome to week six, the final week. Oh my gosh. So I hope everyone's doing well. And yeah, here we are. Here we are in the final week. So we've been... Let's see, sorry, does it sound like... Does it sound like... How's my voice sounding right now? Does it sound like there's a reverb on it? Sue Ann Willis just said that, but I don't know if that's different. I'm calling from my landline, so it should be fine. Let me know before I jump into things too much. Okay, fine now. Thank you. So here we are. So just to recap where we've been and what we're going to focus on this week. So we started off with this whole idea of the seed, figuring out what the, you know, this sort of wound and niche connection. Then we looked at this idea of the big circle, generally who we want to work with. And we honed in on a little circle. And then this idea of niche projects came out of it and how to start exploring and experimenting with the idea of the little circle. So this week's call is really about how do we make sure that that little circle is successful. And I'm actually not going to go into a ton of it in the call because there's a resource that I'm going to send you from one of my past calls about all the different paths and sort of marketing tactics. So I'm just going to be giving that to you as a bonus. And it's pretty substantial. It's basically the fifth and the sixth week transcript from my Marketing 101 for Holistic Practitioners call. So I want to give that to you because it's so much we can't actually cover in one call. But I'd rather use this call for some more practical stuff. So first of all, what I'd like everyone to do is to write on the wall, to put a comment. And I want to see if you can sum up your little circle into a sentence or two, something extremely brief. And before you do it, let me just give context. So if you remember last week during the call, I'm just going to see if I can actually pull these up from last week. We did the four examples where we had people brainstorm sort of niche project potential ideas. And then we all commented on them. And so let me just pull that up. Because I thought they were great examples of how simply this can be summed up. So that was week four. Anyways. But one of them was that, you know, Bob's about kids dropping out of college or... not dropping out of college, but, you know, in college looking for a career. I think you remember the example that we used. So what I'm going to have you do is write them up on the wall. See if you can really distill it down to just the most basic form. You know, it's like I work with women struggling to be social after divorce. I work with single dads who are devastated by the divorce. I work with artists who are struggling to make money, you know, et cetera. So I want you to, in just a sentence or two, give us the most simple possible distillation of who that is. We don't need to know about the project right now, because what we're going to be talking about is hubs, which is the most important thing in marketing. When we look at this idea of all the paths or ways that we can market, I'll be sending you a list of a bunch of those with a bunch of my thoughts about the best ways to use those. But the thing that makes any of those paths work better are hubs. So, for example, you know, you can write blog posts, and those blog posts, you can put them on your website, and people may stumble across them, find them through Google, but it's not going to be half as powerful as putting those same blog posts or articles on websites where people are already looking, and people are already, you know, using a hub where those people are already congregating, if that makes sense. You know, going to a networking event and trying to network for clients and individual people who might hire you is not half as effective as going networking and trying to connect with hubs who are connected to a ton of people who might be your clients. That's far more powerful. So this idea of hubs, people, usually it almost always gets down to a person. but people who are well connected and well respected within your scene. That's the sort of magic bullet, if you will, that makes any marketing approach work better and faster. So I can see some people are already starting to get these up. So, so Mark was asking, distill the big circle or distill the small circle? The small circle. So pick the small circle you've got. Deborah's got a great example. I work with Whole Foods and natural foods or natural medicine-oriented women with painful menstrual cramps and uncomfortable menopausal hot flashes. Leslie Singer says, I work with professional women who suffer under abusive bosses. Nice. Emily said, I work with women feeling overwhelmed and help them nurture their body and soul. Heidi said, people who suffer migraine headaches who are open to natural treatment. Awesome. These are all great examples. And so what I'm going to invite you to do is, and we'll take them one by one, so we're all working on the same one, so we can get some momentum going. Okay, Kathy, you said, I work with sleepwalkers. Now, I'm not sure if that means they're actually sleepwalking or if that's a metaphorical, they're sleepwalkers and they walk around in a trance all day, or if that actually means they, like, walk in their sleep and make themselves sandwiches. So let's see who else. Okay, so Lonnie said, divorcee homeowners in need of income and time to heal and rethink their life to be better this time. That's great. Carmen said, women who are done with restrictive diets and want to find a way to eat whole food, easy, fun meals that will make them gain weight. Okay, Mary said, I work with people who struggle with the conflict between what they think they should be doing and what they want in their heart of hearts. So Mary, I would actually say that's a big circle. I would say that's one of those things that's true of every human being. I think every human being probably struggles with that. So I would say that's probably actually not a great small circle for this particular exercise. Yeah, I would say that's one of those things that it sounds really specific, but it's actually probably everyone could relate to that in some way. Colleen said, I work with single women over 40 who are experiencing anxiety about getting their social life on track. I help them get over Mr. Wrong and focus on having a balanced life on track to meeting Mr. Right. Ah, Colleen, that's so badass. That was really good. That was a really nice summary. I think that's actually the clearest I've seen that. So Carolyn Stapleton, people who are interested in cooking and eating healthier. So I would refine that because, again, I think that's probably one of those things that a lot of people could say they're interested in at least eating healthier and cooking. So I might refine that in terms of, like, what type of cooking, what type of diet, maybe what kind of philosophy do they have about that, what type of people, if you could refine that a bit, that would help. Eileen said, I work with public service managers who are taking responsibility for problem areas. Right. Eileen, you might put a little bit more there, because I seem to recall like they're the ones who get dumped on, but it's a great distillation. So Pamela Rosen said, eggshell walkers, so family trauma survivors who've overlooked self-care. Okay. And let's see what else there is. These are great, by the way, everybody. It can be really tricky to try to sum it up. But the great thing is when you know when you can sum it up this simple, you've got something. So Larry Taylor said, I work with middle-aged women who want to do something meaningful and inspiring with their lives and turn it into an income-producing business. Bam. Lorraine, I work with career women in their 30s and 40s who don't want to leave their job but long to find their true purpose and make a difference in the world. Great. Okay, Donald said, I work with remote energy healers who want to build a viable business on the internet and need help doing it. Bob Ogilvy said, I work with young people trying to establish themselves in their career. Kathy said, I work with women over 50 who are stressed, dragging, and sleep-deprived to get relief from their anxiety and get really deep restorative sleep. Great. Mark said, "I work with aging athletes who want to enjoy their recreational activities painlessly in their later years." Oh, really nice. That's great. Susan Putman said, "I work with moms to help them come fully into their mommy power. I teach them how to connect to their intuition and show them, it doesn't make sense, show, find out their child's divine purpose and what is inside their baby." So you might, Susan, you might want to reword that. There we go. Good. I work with, Tomar said, "I work with midlife women who want to make a difference in the world but don't know how." Margit said, "I work with talented teens who suffer from low self-esteem." Cool. Sylvia, "I work with people over 40 who experience physical and spiritual burnout as they are in their midlife passage and help them heal as they move from the old phase into the new phase of their lives." Okay, so this is pretty great. So I'm going to start picking a few, and I'm going to have us do a brainstorm underneath it, again, like we did in the last call, so before anyone sort of jumps into doing that. So I'm going to pick some that I think just might be easiest for us to do as an activity, but I'm going to invite everyone to keep doing it even after the call. But this is going to be most of the call because I'd rather we sort of learn from doing, and then I can comment on what we're doing and add additional thoughts and all that. And then you're going to get a bunch of materials that you can read later that will help reinforce this. But I just thought us actually doing this and helping each other might be a lot more useful and more practical than just more theory and information, which you can read later if you want to. Okay, so what we're going to do in a second is I'll pick one. I'll probably repost it at the top so we can all find it easily. And we're going to have everyone brainstorm hubs for that. So the question here, and you might want to write this down, is you want to think of where do these people that they've just named, where are they already spending their time, their money, and their attention? Yeah, where are they already spending their time, their money, or their attention? And there are a lot of different things that can be hubs. Ultimately, it's going to get down to a person. But it could be media, online media, so blogs and places where there's articles, discussion forums, and all that. But it could also be offline media, magazine, radio, TV, all of that. It could be an event. There's certain, events and happenings where these people congregate. So in Edmonton, a lot of hippies would go to the Folk Fest. There are certain locations, so cafes or restaurants or grocery stores or yoga studios. There are businesses that are complementary where they're going to spend their money while they're thinking about and working through that issue. So if they're doing a renovation, there might be a number of different stores that are all complementary to each other that they'd visit, or a number of different service providers that they're going to hire that are complementary. Yeah. And it could be groups that they're a part of, nonprofit groups, meetup groups, associations. So there are a number of things. And so I want you to really sit with it and just be like, and a good question to ask yourself whenever you're trying to think of hubs for yourself or somebody else is, where are they sort of spending their money? What are they doing before they would work with you? And what are they doing after? So before they would come to you, they might be seeing this kind of person, and after, they might go to see this kind of person. So I hope that makes sense. So let me just take a second and pick one. Okay, so I'm going to pick one that I think is fairly common. We're going to work with Deborah Epstein's. Okay, so I'm going to post it on top, and we're going to take about 4 minutes, and I'm going to invite it. So it's posted. So everyone go to that new post on the top of the group. And I want you to brainstorm as many different hubs as you can think of. And by the way, feel free to ask clarifying questions. Deborah, I'm going to invite you to follow along and see if you can answer any of those questions as we go. But we're going to take 4 minutes, and I want everyone to just pile on and brainstorm as many hubs. So again, it's, "I work with Whole Foods, natural medicine-oriented women with painful menstrual cramps or uncomfortable menopausal hot flashes." So that's the thing. So you've got 4 minutes. Go crazy. And I'm gonna do this too. Okay. These are great, everybody. Keep them coming. Super great examples. Keep them coming. Okay, one more minute. One more minute. So I'm going to invite you to refresh the page, reread what people have already posted, and see if that sparks any ideas. Got one more minute. Okay, so that's amazing. 74 comments in total. So that was pretty great. So notice how easy it is when it's a really clear small circle. When it's a really clear small circle, and especially when it's something we're all more familiar with, it's pretty easy to come up with hubs. Where it's really difficult to do this exercise is if we were to go back to some of the big circle things that you'd written. And so just to tie this back to the second week, that's because that's where people will stop sometimes. They'll say, well, I want to work with people who are open to change, who are going through transitions in their life, who are stressed. And imagine trying to come up with hubs for that. People who are stressed, people going through transition, people who are open to change. It's very difficult, but when it's a small circle, it's actually pretty easy. And so people will struggle for years with their marketing. They think there's something wrong with them. They think that, why can't I figure this out? Why can't I get my marketing on track? And they put in so much effort. But that's not the issue. The issue isn't that they're not working hard enough. It's that just there's such a lack of clarity that it's actually very difficult to think of hubs. And hubs are so central to marketing. So let me just go through these, all these comments. So many super great ideas here. It's just taking a second to open. Okay. So natural food stores, the whole food stores, food cooperatives, green grocery stores, food co-ops. This actually raises up an interesting thing. There's a colleague of mine who's a doula, and she, Angie Evans, I think she doesn't live in Kenmore, but she used to in Kenmore, Alberta. And she There's one Whole Foods, not Whole Foods, but like a natural grocery store, organic grocery store in Canmore called Nutter's. And Nutter's is kind of where people are going to go. It's the main holistic or, organic hub. And so Angie would go there all the time because that was the kind of food she ate, and she would get to know the staff there. She just got to know them by name. She's pretty sociable, and she particularly got to know the staff in the supplement section. You'd have women coming in, and there are certain supplements that are sort of designed around the whole pregnancy time and having a baby and fertility and all this. So the women would be in there, and they'd be shopping for stuff, and they might talk with one of the staff, and the staff would say, "Oh, what are you looking for?" And they're like, "Oh, we're thinking of having a baby, and so we're wanting to get some vitamins and all that." And the staff might say, "Oh, well, what are you thinking about having a hospital birth, a home birth?" And they say, "Oh, we're thinking about having a home birth, but we haven't, can't find a doula or a midwife." They'd be like, "Oh, you should talk to Angie Evans." So it wasn't like a strategically laid out thing, but she knew that a lot of those conversations were going to happen at Nutter's, and specifically with those staff members. And those staff members knew her. She was a member of the community, so it was really easy to refer. So when we're talking about these food stores, yes, you can go put up posters there, but really consider where in the store might those conversations happen and with whom. And can you be building a relationship with those people? If they're it might make sense to invite them to a workshop for free, if there's or to offer them a session for free or something. To find a way to build a relationship that feels authentic for you, where they can know who you are. So, because it's not just who knows you, it's not who you know, or it's not what you know, it's who you know rather. But it's not just who you know, it's who knows what you know. And particularly if those who are hubs. So yoga studios could be a great example, and I'm seeing yoga studios in there a few times. So yoga studios are great. And so with yoga studios, let's say Deborah decided, "I want to do a workshop at yoga studios." Now, it depends on the business model. If she decides, "I just want to do like a $25 to $50 3-hour workshop focused on this," and there's not really a back end, there's no treatments, she might just want to keep all the money. It might make sense for her to just kind of rent the studio and try to fill it up. But consider this. Imagine you're a yoga studio owner. It's stressful. Ironically, these people who are doing all this work about inner peace have the craziest overhead dealing with staff, dealing with money, and it's a lot. And money is going to be a constant thing for a yoga studio owner. So when we're working with a hub, again, there are going to be, I think I talked about this in a previous call, there are three wins, and maybe I didn't. There are three wins that a hub is going to be looking for. Number one, is this a win for you? Meaning, do you get something out of it? Because people can be kind of suspicious if you show up and say, "Hey, just let me help you. There's nothing in it for me. I just want to help you." People get suspicious of that and don't trust it and want to kind of, "Oh, I don't know," and back off. So they want to know there's something in it for you, especially long term. They might accept a favor once, but after a while, that can start to feel imbalanced. Number two, they want to know, is it a win for them? Are they going to get something out of that? What's in it for me if I'm going to help you? So you want to come to a workshop at my yoga studio? Sure. What's in it for me? And there are a few things. Number one, money. Are they going to, is this going to help feed them and sustain them financially? Number two, will it make them look good? Is it going to help their reputation? Number three, is it going to be easy? Is this going to be a lot of work? Those are the three big ones I tend to think of, but there are a lot of things, you know, but just put yourself in their shoes. What's in it for them? The third win they're going to be looking for is this a win for my clients? Is this genuinely going to help them beyond just making me look good? Is this going to help them? Is this going to add value to their lives? Because that will also make, you know, me as a yoga studio owner look good and look great, but it's also, you know, I get to contribute and I get to know that I'm really helping my people. So those are the three wins. It's a win for you, it's a win for them, and it's a win for their people. And those need to be really thought out. So with a yoga studio, you know, part of the reason you want to do it at the yoga studio is so you can reach new people, not just the usual suspects, not just having your people come out. Because there's a lot of you probably discover you do a workshop and then for your people, and you might get a good response initially, but then your people have maybe either they've all been through the workshop. And so it can trail off. You can kind of burn out your own list trying to promote your own stuff. So, of course, the easiest way is to go to other people who have their own lists, who have their own communities, and have them promote your stuff to their people. So much easier. So Deborah might go to a yoga studio, and she could say, hey, I'd like to do a workshop. And there are three ways she could do it. One is she could say, I'd like to do a workshop, and I just want to rent the space. Please promote it as you can. Depending on the yoga studio, they'll have some agreement about how much effort they're going to put into promoting it. Another way, she might say, you know, I'd love to do a thing. I'm happy to rent it, but what I'd really love is to split the profits. And now there's more of an incentive for the yoga studio. A third way, she might go and she'd say, look, I'm going to make most of my money on some of these people hiring me after and booking sessions, and I'm going to be offering a package deal, which is hundreds of dollars and all that. So what I'd love to do is let's charge $25, $30, $50, whatever it is for the workshop, but you keep all the money. It's all that's yours. You keep the front end because I know from my experience that there's a pretty good conversion in the short term, but also long term in terms of those people becoming clients. Does that make sense how that third one is going to be a lot more motivating for the yoga studio owner? They'll be like, what? I can keep all the money? I just have to get, you know, 20 people there and I can make $500? I'm in. So the key thing is whenever you go to any of these hubs, you want to be asking yourself, what's in it for them and what's in it for their people? How can I make this easy for them? How can I have it sustain them in some way financially is the most obvious. And what can I do that can also have this, have them look good to their people? But just in general, how can this benefit them? What else? It's also the kind of thing, you know, let's say there are, you know, probably dozens of yoga studios in most major towns. But let's just say that the kind of people you are really attracted to tend to go to there, these three yoga studios, and you think they're the best and they really have your people. Because, you know, there's the Bikram, and there's maybe the Bikram people aren't yours, and then there's maybe a yoga studio where it's also just all about fitness and getting tight yoga buns, and those aren't really your people, but there's another one that is more your people, or there's a few. It would really make sense to do what you can to connect with those yoga studio owners. And that can be offering them free treatments, free service, or just going to their classes, becoming a part of their community, connecting with them. Anything you can do to be building that relationship with them is going to be useful. And I think we all have our different style of how we connect with people in a way that feels good and authentic to us, but the more you can be connecting with them, the better. I knew of a hypnotherapist in Edmonton, and he made his whole career because he wanted to focus on the business community, so he picked 10 people who were business kind of leaders and hubs, and he put on a workshop specifically for them around I think it was like hypnosis or confidence and sales and all this, and he offered them all an individual coaching session or a hypnotherapy session. They just all loved it so much that they just referred him a ton of people because they were big hubs. So very quickly connected with them. Really smart. Okay, what else? Health food stores again. Yeah, massage therapists, absolutely. It's the kind of thing for this type of a thing. I could see Deborah doing a workshop just for holistic practitioners, being like, hey, here's what I know about this stuff. And they then leave smarter, able to help their clients a little better. But then they say, you know, if you're really struggling with this, you know, who's the expert? Deborah. She's amazing at helping women with this. I went to a workshop she led. It was really smart. Wow, there are so many of these. Just see if anything else jumps. Yeah, okay, so the fertility awareness groups and people who do work around fertility. There's a lot of focus on women's cycles there. So those would obviously be great people to connect with and could be great groups to go and present for. And again, I guess another option is you could go to the yoga studio and say, we'll do it for free. You know, and you don't get paid, we don't get paid, but it's a free thing for your people. Sometimes what happens is people don't come if it's free, and some yoga studio owners won't even do things for free because they just find they don't get a response because people don't perceive that there's a lot of value if it's free and just kind of a drop-in thing. Natural food magazines or natural health magazines, clearly. If Deborah were to write articles for them, you know, like the top 10 tips to dramatically reduce your menstrual pain and did it in a descending order or something like that, that could be a really powerful thing. So check that out. So there's over 80 comments, I think, right now. All these ideas, there's a lot of overlap, but so many ideas, it was so easy to come up with this. So let's do another one. Let's go. Okay, so Larry Taylor. I think this is a fairly clear one. Or we'll find out how clear it is. So this is part of the great thing about starting to fiddle with hubs is you'll figure out pretty soon how clear what you're doing is. Because to me, it's one of the most immediate signs that a circle is fuzzy is when nobody can think of any hubs or when that's a real struggle. So that's either a sign that it's fuzzy or it's a sign that there's just not much of a community around it, which means you may need to create the hubs. When I was younger, I used to do workshops for student councils in high school. And so, of course, the student council advisor, the teacher who ran the student council, they're the people I need to talk to. But there was no hub in Alberta at that time for this student council advisors. They actually didn't hang out anywhere. They brought their kids to the conferences, but there weren't even sessions, I think, for the advisors. It was just a big party for the students, which was awesome. But there just weren't any hubs. So in that case, I would have needed to create the hub if I'd really wanted to make that go. But when we start to brainstorm hubs, we figure out how clear it is. I think this one is pretty clear, but we also may find out that more clarity would help us figure out hubs for a particular kind of people. So in round two, we're going to come up with the hubs, but also, I haven't posted it yet, but I will in a second. We're going to brainstorm hubs, but also if there are any clarifying questions that you're like, you know, it's hard to think of a hub, but if I knew this, like what type of person, all this, that would really help. You know, are they this kind of person or that kind of person? Are they into this? Are they more into that? What's the flavor of the people that might help you suddenly unlock a bunch of hubs? So, Larry, I'm going to invite you to follow along, and I'm posting it now. So, once again, 4 minutes. Let's all just go crazy and brainstorm hubs for Larry. Okay, about a minute left. These are great. Keep them coming. Really good. Keep them coming. Okay, so just go back, scan what's already been written, and see if there's anything else that jumps to mind. Scan what's already been written, see if there's anything else that jumps to mind. Just take another few seconds. You people are amazing. Awesome. Okay, so we're going to wrap that up, get your last thoughts up, and let's kind of look through some of these. Okay, so coffee shops, always, for everything. Women's gyms, yes, I think that's a great one. I was thinking the same thing, Bob. yeah, women's gyms. Middle-aged women going, getting in shape. They're clearly already motivated about their life. They're already trying to make some positive changes in their life. So that could be a super great thing. Online forums, small business development groups. Yes, if I was, and this is an interesting question that somebody asked, just like, where are they in their journey towards entrepreneurship? Is that something they've even looked at yet or not? So I think clarifying that would help figure out hubs, because if we know that they're already small business owners, that's one thing. If they're just totally employed, 9-to-5, working for the man, or if they're stay-at-home moms, or if they're just empty nesters, those are all different things that might help refine who the hubs would be. So you'll notice how these small little wrinkles that might seem insignificant to you in the little circle can actually open up a whole other world of hubs. yeah, so the curves, gyms, right? Hairdressers, cool. Fitness trainers would be some... artisan markets, okay, great. New Thought Church Groups. That's interesting, Tomar. She put New Thought Church Groups. It could be, and again, this really depends. This is where the psychographics come in. When we start to look at, well, what values do they have? What groups and communities are they a part of? Because maybe Larry doesn't want to work with New Thought people. Maybe he does. So, of course, in so few words, he couldn't really get that across. But the clearer sense we get about who this person is, the more we know, would New Thought Church Groups be a fit or not? My guess is, in his case, they probably would be. But it can be interesting how we make assumptions of like, well, you know, my version of a middle-aged woman in this would be into this. But that might be different than what he's wanting. And so the clearer it is about who it is, the easier it is about where to find them and where not to find them. What else? Women's leadership groups, yeah. Women's church groups, totally. And again, Larry might have a thing against churches. It might not be his thing, and it might. The more we know about the person, the easier it is to find. We're doing sort of a very thumbnail version of this. New Age bookstore, grocery stores. I was also thinking fitness trainers, yoga classes. And you can also think about books. Sometimes an interesting way to look at hubs, you can think about the books they might be into. So I was thinking these kind of women might be really into The 4-Hour Work Week as a book, or they might be into EscapeFromCubicleNation.com as a blog. It would be something that resonates with them. So that's the type of thing where then it's like, well, who in my town or who in my area, if you're looking geographically and locally, who does that kind of work? Who resonates with that? Who's kind of the local rep of that worldview? You might be able to find a really great hub, or the website itself might be a really great hub. And if it's a big enough player, it might take a while to build a relationship, but there's the potential of that. I was thinking travel agents, middle-aged women might just want to get out of town and, start new. Holistic practitioners that are focused on middle-aged women, people like Deborah who focus on middle-aged women and menopausal stuff, would be a perfect way to be connecting with these women. What else? So great. You're all awesome. So, and what I'm noticing is there's a lot of the same ones, and some of these are pretty broad and pretty vague. And I think part of that is because we don't totally have a super clear sense of who they are. And again, we're doing a thumbnail version of this. But the clearer sense we have, the better. Okay. So the next one, Tim Emerson. Let's try this. So I work with healers who struggle with their own self-doubts, who long to feel the intuition and connection they see other healers demonstrate. So, knowing Tim, my guess is it's kind of energy healer types. So I'm just going to post this here. So before anyone else posts Tim, if you want to post any qualifications there, feel free to. But I'm guessing it's sort of energy healer types. And if there's anything else you want to post, you can post that there. So before you start typing, I'm just going to invite you all to reflect. So these particular kinds of people, where would you find them? So these are healers that they've been maybe working for a little while. That's also another question. Been working for a little while, but they're starting to doubt themselves. Is what I'm doing even real? It all just feels very subtle to them. And but they see other healers and they're like, man, they've got it so together. They really seem to help people. I would love to be able to do that or feel that way. So see if there's anything from Tim. Okay. So we'll keep your eye out for Tim's comments if he has any. And 4 minutes, go crazy. Let's brainstorm. Where would you find these people? So again, imagine you're this holistic healer and you are at this point where you're really struggling. You're questioning. You're like, gosh, do I have the goods? You're feeling just full of self-doubt. Where do you go? What do you do? What's the first thing you do? What's the first thing you look for online? What do you do when you're feeling all that self-doubt and you're just looking at all these other healers and you're kind of jealous and you're wondering, what might you do? Okay, about 30 seconds. Feel free to read back through what other people have posted. See if that inspires any more ideas. Read back through. Okay, wow, awesome, everybody. Wow, God, almost 80 comments. People are incredible. I don't even know if Tim noticed. I think he may have gone to the bathroom. So, super great. So when I look at these, one of the ones that popped up a number of times is meetup groups. And meetup.com, if you don't know about it, is so awesome. You take any topic that you can think of, any topic you can imagine, any theme, any author, any whatever, and you do a search for that in meetup.com, and you'll find it. There's probably some existing group that's already there that you can be connecting with. And then you have a few options. One, you can just go and participate and enjoy being a member of that kind of a group, which is a lot of fun. But also, you could start a group, and you could host a group that's focused on something if that particular flavor of what you're wanting to offer isn't there. So you can create a hub, which can be great, but you could also you can find those hubs. And what you can do is you can become a part of them, but you can also say, hey, how can I support this? This is so wonderful. How can I help this thrive? How can I help this be an even better thing? They will be incredibly grateful for the support that they can get from you, because they're probably totally overrun. See if there's anything else that shows up here. Yeah, seminar companies to me are an obvious one. Especially, you know, workshops that teach healers how to do their stuff, a lot of them don't offer follow-up for their people. You know, they do the course, and then they either leave town or follow-up kind of mentoring isn't a part of the package. So you might be able to build a relationship with them and be like, hey, can I help organize follow-up for you? You don't have to pay me anything. I'll do it on my own, or you can come up with some split or something, you know. You'll endorse it. You'll get a cut of everything I make. You could do that kind of a thing, and you could fill a practice really well. it also had me think about a really interesting strategy one of my colleagues, PJ Van Hol, came up with, where one of her strategies was, if you wanted to get a lot of clients, become a case study for somebody else. So she would go to all these marketing workshops. She would apply what they did, super hardcore, and they would then feature her on their stage saying, man, PJ is a total case study, an example of what I do, and she's so wonderful, and look at what she's doing. And then she would just get featured to this room full of people and given props and big praise by this big-name speaker. So I thought that was a pretty smart approach. An interesting way of working with hubs. These are great. Okay, so let's do another one. And let me see, who else? Trying to pick one that's like maybe a little bit different. Because a lot of these, there's a lot of ones for like middle-aged women. I think a lot of the hubs would be the same. So let's work with bops because we're actually already familiar with that from last week. So bobs is I work with young people trying to establish themselves in their career. So bob, before everyone posts, I'm just going to post it, Bob, if you want to put any qualifiers in there about the particular kind of young people. That's great. Anything but. So that's the basic thing. Young people trying to establish themselves in their career. Probably still in college or just out of college. They're just getting started. So Bob, let's just take a few seconds to see if there's anything you want to add that would help clarify this for people. Oh, before, nobody posts yet. Nobody posts. I just want to give Bob just a second to see if there's anything that might help us give him even better. Better guidance. So don't post yet. Don't post your ideas. Just keep sitting with it. Nobody post yet. So Bob, if there's anything else you want to add, this is your moment. What kinds of young people, what ages are you looking at? Are they in college? Aren't they? So just out of school. Cool. So just out of school. They're trying to define who they are. Great. Okay. So everybody, 4 minutes. Go crazy. let's see what hubs we can think of. Go. Good job, everybody. Keep them coming. The key here is to put yourself in the shoes of this young person. You're just out of college. In fact, remember what it was like when you were just out of college and you were looking to establish yourself in a new career. Where did you go? What kinds of things did you think about? What did you look at? What did you buy? Where did you spend your money? What did you read? Who did you talk to? What did you even talk about? If you went on Google, or if you were to, go on Google, what would you be searching? What would you look for? What kind of search terms would you use? Think about those things. one more minute, go back over what people have put, and just go back over and see if there's anything else that you would add. See if there's anything new you can think of. Really put yourself in the shoes of these students. Got about one more minute. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. Nice work. Yeah, so Deborah lifts up a really important question. And so this is a great learning opportunity. She said, I'm having a hard time with this one beyond career fair type things. Maybe more details about what types of students. Maybe they did a liberal arts degree and they're struggling with impracticality despite good education, right? Are they business students? Are they engineering students? And are they kind of mainstream? Are they green? Are they, artists? Are they, et cetera? The more we can know about those people, the better. And again, it's unfair because we did a real kind of thumbnail thing. But notice how the focus on who this person is can really, really help. Because otherwise we're left with very broad hubs. As soon as we narrow in, we're going to get better ones. So we're doing thumbnails just because of the amount of time it would take, I think, for people to read the full little circle of somebody. But I hope you're getting the idea of how these hubs can work. Now, here's an interesting one that is really lasered around a particular problem more than the type of person. So I'm going to post it. It's Heidi Wilson's. And it's people who suffer from migraine headaches who are open to natural treatment. So imagine that. Imagine you have suffered from migraines your whole life, and they just cripple you, they knock you out, they destroy your social life. Huge drag. What might be the hubs for people who are struggling with migraines? So you've got about 4 minutes. Go. Good, another couple of minutes. Go back over, see what comes up, see what other people have written, see if there's anything new you'd want to add. One more minute. Okay, you get your last ones up. So there are a few things that jumped out here. Somebody said YouTube. YouTube is an awesome hub. YouTube is the second most used search engine on the planet, next to Google, and it's owned by Google. And so if you go to YouTube right now and you Google migraine headaches, you'll find a ton. If you Google how to get rid of migraine headaches naturally, I guarantee you there are a bunch of videos with that title that are on that topic. You know, so getting your own YouTube videos up can be huge. YouTube itself is the hub. This is where people go and look for answers. Google is a hub. So being able to be found on those things really easily is pretty important. And videos just tend to rank very highly. So if you wanted to be found by these people, well, YouTube's a hub, so you put up a bunch of videos. Like, here's some natural treatments and pressure points around dealing with migraines naturally, and then here's my website if you want more information, and if you want to really, you know, get rid of these migraines, here's the full, you know, I do like a 6-week course on this, you know, that goes beyond these like kind of simple treatments into really more in depth, and how do you use migraines, in fact, as not something that's getting in the way of your life, but as the doorway into changing your life, because migraines are often a symptom of all these other things, and here are the, you know, 6 underlying causes of migraines, and you can use the migraine itself as like the canary in the mine shaft to, you know, tell you if you're on track in your life or not, and your migraines can actually be your best friend. You could frame it as that, and you could do a whole program around it, etc. So something like that could be really great. Marriage counselors, yes, could be. What else did I see that I liked here that I wanted to comment on? It's just interesting because, again, when we say people who suffer from migraine headaches who are open to a natural treatment, there's probably a lot more we could know about that kind of person that would, again, help us figure out. Because here's what happens in the holistic scene. We tend to just go for other holistic hubs, and you've probably noticed the pattern. Yoga studios have shown up, other holistic practitioners, and that's true. Those are definitely hubs. But as we get to know the kind of person and the particular kind of problem and their point of view, their worldview, what's important to them, it will open up other hubs. And it's part of the reason of thinking of the little circle, too, is that you might find a little circle that is totally underserved, that is not holistic, but is suffering from the problem and would be very open to your help. They just want relief. But they're not in the holistic scene, and so all the other holistic hubs might not work for them. You might be like, you know, truckers, they deal with back pain. Well, truckers aren't all necessarily going to be the most holistic people. And yet they have that issue, and suddenly, you know, there's a whole bunch of different hubs because we've picked a particular group of people, corporate CEOs, maybe, or maybe they're not holistic. But they're going to be a different set of hubs for corporate CEOs than there would be for just the general holistic scene. So I would lift up, be wary of just getting trapped in the holistic world where everybody's marketing to themselves and everybody's promoting to each other, to that limited group. Because there are a ton of people out there who need your support, who aren't even in the holistic scene, aren't even aware of it, who you could still reach really easily with the right hubs. In fact, who to whom you might stand out because you're so different than what they've seen. So it's just a thought. So at this point, what I want to do is I want to open it up to any questions you have about these niche projects. Because so hubs, I hope you get it. The hubs are the main thing. You want to find it. You want to make it really clear how to win for you, for them, for their people. You want to be building a relationship with them. Sometimes with hubs, the bigger the hub, the more time it may take to build a relationship. With a big enough hub, it's just if you can be like, hey, how can I help you? And you're in that place of just kind of service and helping them and being useful and supporting them in a way that's authentic because you just really resonate with what you do, a relationship will usually build over time. But I'm curious what particular questions you all have about, it's great. So I think you get the idea where these hubs can come from, how to brainstorm them, how to identify them. I super encourage you to go on Facebook and post to your friends and be like, hey, what do you think? Where would I find these particular types of people? And do more than just the thumbnail, but give a decent sense and see what feedback you can get. You can email your friends, enroll people. But I think you get a sense of how to find them. The question is then, what do you do with them, and how do you kind of promote and make your niche project successful? So any questions you have about hubs, about niche projects, let's take those now. And I've got some exciting news for you at the end of the call. Deborah said she is a patient who's actually a holistic trucker. Nice. So what questions do you have? Have I been so effective that there are no questions? When you think about your niche project and like what it's going to take for that to be successful, what it's going to take for that to really fly and reach people and get people to it, get a response, what do you want to know? What do you wonder? Where do you feel like, I don't know how to do it? So Lorraine asked, is it worth designing a project specific to a hub if it takes you out of the work you really want to be doing? It depends on what the back end of it is. If somehow that could then bring you back to the work you're doing, ultimately, maybe. It's hard to say without specifics. But it's one of the downfalls that I've seen in the nonprofit world is people chase the money. And so they're like, well, our mission is really, X, but there's money for Y, so let's go do it. We're really about environmental stuff, this thing's a social justice thing, we could get money for it, so let's just do this social justice project. And I've seen a lot of nonprofits go totally off message, go totally off mission, because they were just chasing the money. So generally, I would say no. Okay, so Tim was saying, first question, how to run a successful workshop or teleseminar? Wow, that's a whole thing. That's a really good question. Tim, maybe if you can qualify it, when you say how to run, do you mean the facilitation side, the promotion side of it? I'm not sure what's the particular thing you're wondering how to run. And then, yes, there is a thing from Howie, which I'm going to post, so thank you for the reminder. I will get that up as soon as I can. Margit, so how to market to a niche that has mixed interests? For example, I want to work with teens, right, but parents are paying. So teens need to say yes, independent to the parents. This is such a great question, especially when you're working with younger people, because of course the parents or the schools are going to be the ones that are paying. So you really do need a two-pronged approach here, and sometimes you need two different sets of marketing materials, one for the teens for them to read, and one for the parents. Because if you just try to market to the teens, I mean, it's great if the teens are excited. But I think there still needs to be something for the parents that speaks to the parents, and why they would pay, if there's some retreat or some workshop. I just think there needs to be some acknowledgement of the parent space too, that the parent would even want to share it with a kid. But it depends how you're reaching them, because sometimes you might get in through schools and a school promotes it and the kid comes home and they've got the materials. The parents are like, oh, well, this looks great. Yes, I'd be happy to send them. But if you're going to be marketing to the parents directly, then you're going to want something that's speaking to the parents and something they can give to their kid. And Of course, the parent would ask you, like, oh, what can I show my kid that would get them excited about it? So you will need a two-pronged approach with that type of thing. The question a bunch of people have been asking, will this Facebook page be open after the class? Yes, it's going to be open forever and ever and ever. Sylvia, so what are ways to get feedback on whether or not my niche is of interest to people before I put too much energy into it? That's actually kind of relevant to this thing that my colleague Howie put together around how to use Google keywords to search, just like how much interest is there in this. So keep your eye out for the thing from Howie, because I think it'll help. But there's a way on Google you can see just how much interest, how many people are actually searching that term. So if you said migraines and you work globally, well, you'd probably find there are a lot of people searching that. But let's say you live in a very small town and you want to only work locally, and you live in, you know, Leduc, Alberta, so you could find out how many people are searching migraines Leduc, you know, or Leduc migraines, or et cetera, and see what kind of actual interest there is and how many people seem to be suffering from it locally who are actively searching for it. So that's one way. The other way is just talk to people. Talk to as many people as you can everywhere, all the time. Just be asking people, like, what do you think about this? Are there a lot of people? Do you think they'd be interested in this? Post it on Facebook. Post it as a comment on Facebook. Just say, hey, everybody, what do you think? I've got this idea. Do people think it's a good idea? Email your list and be like, hey, I've got this new idea. What do you think? You know, is this worthwhile? Please click reply to let me know. You can also start talking to some of the hubs, because these are people who are very tapped into the scene. And there's a wording that I heard somebody say that I really liked, talking about as an experiment. And you can reach out to one of these hubs and say, hey, I've got this experiment I've been thinking about doing with, you know, the kind of people who you work with around this. And I'm wondering if you'd be willing to go for coffee to, you know, share your thoughts on that, or, you know, I'm, you know, looking, it depends who the hub is, but oftentimes if I reach out to a hub, I'm just like, I would love to learn about you, because I often need to refer out for, you know, things that I don't do, and you seem really interesting, and I'd love to just learn more about you. Maybe we can go for coffee. And there's some things I'd love to get your thoughts and reflections on. So those can be different ways, but yeah, it's a really great question, just to be like, are there enough people? Would they pay for this? and that can be an interesting question. And you can sit down with people too and say, so is this of interest? And they're like, yeah, it kind of is. And you can ask them, well, what would need to be involved in this project, this niche project, for it to be really exciting? Like, what would it have to do for you? What would you want to see included in it, not included in it? And start asking people who are kind of your ideal clients, and they'll design it for you. You know, so in the very first niche thing, I said not having conversations with your niche is a blunder. Having these conversations can help so much, because you can say, oh, what would you want? What would be most important for you if you were going to do this? And then once you've designed it, it's like, okay, so this is, if it did all these things, that's something you would want. And then how much would you pay for that? I was thinking of charging this amount. Does that feel right? Is it too high? Is it too low? They can even help you with their pricing. And you're not trying to sell them on it. You're not trying to push them into buying it. You're just genuinely like, what do you think about this? Would this make sense? Would this work? And unless you're getting a response like, hell yes, oh my God, that's amazing, it's probably not quite, it's either that the niche, it's probably that the niche isn't clear enough, or that what you're offering just isn't that exciting, and you can keep, focusing on it. Okay, so Tomar said, Tad, is there a protocol for cultivating and then approaching a big shot hub, or should we look among our own peer group, not the megastars? It's fine. The basic advice I'd say is to start with your own peer group, to start a little smaller, especially if it's a new niche, if it's a new niche project and you're building yourself up. By the time you show up to the big shots, I think you really want to be ready to shine. You really want to be, like, solid so that you can deliver, so that they're going to look good and it's going to be useful for their people, because that's what's going to have them want to support you in the future. So I would really check your level of readiness before you approach somebody, a big shot, because you don't get a lot of chances with somebody who's a bigger name. And a lot of what they're going to look at is just like, well, what have you done already? And sometimes the way that you get the experience and that you can get some of the cred on the street is from some of the smaller hubs. Because I know if somebody approached me and they wanted, you know, I don't know, to work with, let's say I went to England and somebody's like, hey, I'd love to, you know, partner with you in some way. I can guarantee you I'd be asking everyone else I knew in the scene in England, do you know this person? What's their deal? Are they good? Are they solid? Do they do what they say they're going to do? And I'd be really listening to the feedback. So, so if somebody just approached me directly, you know, there are a number of things I would do. I would check out their website, you know, and I would just see what, and I would probably check them out on Facebook. I'd see what kind of things they post. I'd do some vetting, but mostly I'd be talking to the friends. So I think it's like to think of it like a spiraling upwards to start with who you know, build relationships there, and to keep building up. You could, another way again though to approach the hubs is like if, let's say they lead workshops and you become their case study, you become their poster child, you can build a relationship really quickly. You could also just go to them and be like, hey, I really love what you do. How can I help? How can I support? And I've seen people who then like ended up working for these big shots, you know, as an assistant or something, and then they ended up going off on their own and creating something. And of course, the big shot hub was like, this person's amazing. They worked with me. They were so helpful. And they endorsed them. So I think there are a lot of different approaches. That's my sense of it, is to start with what you've got, and build those relationships, but to be keep connecting with people who are sort of one level above you in terms of however you would manage that or measure that or consider that. To keep having them in your sights. But I don't know, I've had people who just like were just super young and inexperienced who came and were just like, yeah, work with me, partner with me. And I was just like, wow, no, you're not ready. Because I'm really looking at their container. I'm looking at, like, could they handle it if I sent them a bunch of business, if I promoted them? Would they be ready, you know, and would my clients have a really good experience with them? So that's probably the biggest thing I'm looking at for myself as a hub is, like, what is my experience of this person? Because if my experience of this person is they're being needy or pushy about it, I imagine that's the experience my clients will have. And so, of course, I'm not going to do it. But if my experience is like, wow, I really enjoy being around this person, it feels good, of course, I'm more likely to do it. Lonnie was saying it might be a good idea to get a brainstorming circle of folks to do this together. It seems easier to do for others than myself. Yes, absolutely. So again, the first thing though is to really go back to that little circle, and I hope you got it, that some of those little circles, there was just, some of it was fuzzy enough that we could do some general brainstorming, but it was really hard to get specific. So go back to the little circle workbook. Really go back to that little circle workbook and work it through. Answer all the questions in the back. Really hone it down, and then refine it, clarify it as much as you can, because the clearer sense you can give other people, the easier it'll be for them. Let's see. Okay, I'm just going to refresh, see if there are any other ones. Oh, okay, so back to Tim's question. His question was about the promotion side. So first of all, there are a bunch of workshops you can go to on how to lead workshops. So there's rejuvenatetraining.com you can check out. And that's my colleagues, Jesse and Charla. There's callanrush.com, which is callanrush.com. And they've got some workshops specifically on how do you promote and fill workshops. And their kind of take is, like, that's one of the major things that can get a lot of holistic practitioners free from struggling is creating workshops and high-end coaching programs. So it's worth checking out. My only pullback from their work, they do a lot of the accelerated learning stuff, which is like high five your neighbor and let me ask you rhetorical questions and have you repeat back. And it's just not the style of workshop that I really enjoy myself. And some of it feels contrived. And so I'm not a fan, and I'm not necessarily always a fan of the way that things get pitched and shared. That's not my style, but it might be yours. But I would check them out because I do think they've got some really, really smart content that's aligned with what I talked about. And in fact, if you were to go to one of those workshops with a really well thought out small circle that's based on your big circle, that's really connected to, you know, your own kind of wound and your own life experience, if you were to go with that and be like, how do I make this work? They would love you because they'd be like, oh my God, this is such a clear thing. And you would get so much more out of the workshop having done this. And in fact, I want to put this out. Having done this workshop, and the more you really keep working on it and refining it, the more you will get out of any marketing workshop you go to from this point forward. Going in with a clear niche, the clearer you have it, the easier everything else is. I kind of wish people would do this type of work, this type of thinking, whether with me or with somebody else, before they ever went to a marketing course, because every tactic will come back to this. But again, even with workshops, the general sense I have with workshops is there's the pretty standard model. There's a reason it works. You do the intro workshop, and then you do a bigger workshop. It just makes sense to me. I think that's the gracious way to do it because it gives people a chance to meet you, get a sense of you in person, if it feels like a fit. But with those intro workshops, again, you can do so many to your own list, but I really recommend getting them hosted by other people. And something I found also that's very successful, if you really want to fill a workshop, is do a bunch of intro workshops in a row. Like do 9 or 10 of them. And there will start to be a buzz about it. People start to like, oh, are you going to this thing? You know, it gives people a chance they go to it. If they enjoyed it, they'll tell their friends, but their friends now have an opportunity to go to an intro instead of having to sign up for the weekend. I think a mistake people will do is they'll just do one intro and be like, why didn't my weekend fill? And I'd rather see you take like 2 months and do one every single week. But again, if it was each one, you can have that be hosted by somebody else, and it's also open to the public, but you get one yoga studio to host it. You get a life coach friend of yours to host one. I'm talking even in their living rooms, you know, simple things. It's much more likely. And or you could just do one big one, but you get a bunch of hubs to promote that one workshop. Yeah. And they all reach out to their own list. They all promote it. That can work too, you know, because then there's still it can be the buzz of everybody's hearing about it. You know, when you hear about the same workshop from like 5 people, that's great. And if you're going to, here's the distinction I would make too. If you're going to invite hubs to be promoting a workshop, I would pay them. I would do an affiliate thing. I'd be like, look, you either keep 100% of the money of everyone who comes, or if your people sign up for the advanced other workshop, you're going to get a cut of that. So if it's a hub, I would definitely offer the financial deal just because they've spent their lifetime building up this reputation for themselves. I don't do that, which is general participants. I know there's some workshops that they just kind of, hey, since you've gone to this workshop, if you send your friends and you'll get paid, and it becomes like a timeshare kind of thing. And I just think that's gross when it's just business to client. I don't appreciate that because I don't think that's genuine word of mouth. I think that's just bribery. But when it's another business and it's business to business and it's another hub, I definitely would. But so that's my sense in terms of how do you fill workshops, have a really solid intro, get it hosted by hubs, whether one event that a bunch of hubs sponsor or they each sponsor their own. And that will, if the workshop focus is good, if it's lasered in, if it's really, you know, well thought out, it'll probably, and there's of course ways to share it. One quick thought about when to share when you're doing your workshops. A lot of people wait till the very end to share the info about their workshop, and I think that's a mistake because people get exhausted by the end and aren't necessarily ready to hear it. So if you're doing an intro, let's say it's a 3-hour intro, and you go like an hour and a half, you take a break, people stretch, come back, do a fun exercise of some kind, something engaging, and then just share and be like, okay, I'm going to take 5 or 10 minutes and talk about the next level thing because I know some people are interested in it, and share it. And then at the end, you can remind people about it, but you've already shared it in a place where they were still fresh. And I just think for me, it feels more respectful at the end when it's like, thank you for coming, you can leave, you know, as opposed to right at the very end, they start pushing you and pushing you to sign up. So those are some thoughts. I hope that's useful. What else? Okay, John was saying my main concern with all of this is that it will take a lot of time, which is all good, but I need to make money now. Currently, two niches within my big circle are groups. Not include, putting 85% of my current mailing list. So I'm really starting over. Yes, you need to make money now. There's that post that I did on fast marketing with George Cao, or George Wong, rather. So I'm just going to post that, John, underneath your comment here. I'd recommend checking this out. And also, I will post the, where is it? There's a blog post, 5 simple steps to getting more clients. Here. So those would be the recommended approaches I would give. Okay, so Rachel's saying, what's the best way to make a relationship with doctors that don't know you, that would feel genuine, not salesy? Here's what I can tell you. If you're talking about being a holistic practitioner, building a relationship with a medical doctor, that's just extremely difficult. I've almost never, ever, ever come across anyone who's done that successfully, unless the doctor is already kind of into that stuff. So it depends on the situation you're talking about. The best I could suggest, if it's coming from the holistic approach, would be to find some association of like integrative doctors who are like some network association that's already a mix of sort of East and West and all of that. That would be my initial thought. And if it's not necessarily a holistic thing, but it's something that a doctor might find more immediately credible and palatable for their own kind of worldview, how do you build relationships? Gosh, I imagine there are doctors' conventions that happen. Sometimes all you have to do is get in with one or two doctors, though, and you know, and they'll spread the word. You might also consider hosting a workshop specifically targeted to medical doctors about whatever it is you do. The big question, though, is if they're going to consider it credible, and that's going to be the big thing. Okay, what else? Okay, I'm just going to refresh, see if there's anything else. Actually, before I keep going with this, here's the good news. I'm going to be staying involved with this group for the next couple of weeks. So in the past, when I was done, I've just kind of left the group. But I'm really, actually, I want the case studies from you, and I want to support you in having that happen. So I'm going to be staying involved in the group and staying in touch with you. And some of you will hopefully be featured on my blog at some point. So I'm going to be staying involved in this group, giving feedback as much as I can. We're just hitting Fringe Festival right now, so everything's going to be a bit nuts for me. But I'll be in touch as much as I can and supporting, because I really love the progress that a lot of you made, and it's been really fun. So yeah. So that's it, though. That's kind of the 6 weeks. I'll be in touch. But here's what would feel super great for me, as we wrap up, is if people could, on the wall, just write, what have you most appreciated about this group? What's been most useful for you, from this whole process? And I may be asking for more in-depth feedback in terms of how to improve it later and for the next time. but I would love to hear any appreciations, any thoughts, any things that have been most useful for you, what's been most impactful, what's happened for you as a result of this time together, what's in a real world sense come out of this for you. Yeah, that would just be really interesting for me to hear what the impact of this 6 weeks has been. And yeah, so thanks everybody. This is it for the 6 weeks in terms of the calls. There won't be any more calls, but I will be in touch. I've so enjoyed this. Thank you so much for being the guinea pig group on this and letting me explore and have this chance to coalesce a lot of my own thoughts around niche marketing. So we will definitely be in touch, and take care. Bye.